You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
If you've ever heard someone talking about Hebrew Scripture, you're likely to have heard them talk about the Law and the Prophets. But there's also a big chunk of material simply referred to as the Writings. That's your poetry and wisdom literature, like the Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs, and the source of our passage for today, the Book of Proverbs. You might also recall that Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians in 586 BCE, and all the Jewish leaders were dragged off into exile. After a generation or so of being assimilated into the culture of a foreign country, the Jewish leaders started to wonder, how are we going to remember what it means to be Jewish? The answer? Better write it down. The Book of Proverbs is one of the books that resulted. It's among what's called the post-exilic writings of visionary Jews who were aiming to conserve the core values of Judaism. On account of his legendary wisdom, the writing of Proverbs has traditionally been attributed to Solomon, but only as an honorary kind of thing. Because its Jewish editors knew that wisdom is wisdom, wherever it comes from, Proverbs is actually a composite of folk sayings, moral principles, and observations from lots of different sources about how the world really works. In fact, at least one chapter is an almost verbatim quote from an ancient Egyptian sage writing many years prior to Proverbs. So, wherever they came from, the sayings of Proverbs emphasize values such as honesty, diligence, trustworthiness, self-restraint, ethics, and spiritual reflection. Our passage today is brief, but like all true pearls of wisdom, it doesn't need to be long to get to the heart of the matter.
Our words of wisdom are from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18.
Where there is no vision, people perish.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
My mentor, Harold Beck, was a much sought-after speaker for conferences and other denominational events. On one particularly hot July day in Fayetteville, Arkansas, he found himself looking out over a gathering of about 40 United Methodist bishops. Taking the opportunity to poke fun at a group of individuals who were occasionally known to be a little full of themselves, he asked the question, "What do you think your mother thought while she was changing your diapers?" Well, getting no response, he said he knew immediately that he shouldn't have asked the question. When sharing the story later, he said, evidently there are a considerable number of United Methodist bishops who never wore diapers. They're the immaculate exceptions. But the question bears repeating. What do you think your parents thought when they were changing your diaper? I can tell you one thing for sure, and I think it may be good enough to warrant a place in the Book of Proverbs itself. Every one of us is here today because someone who had their hands in our reality dared to dream of what we might become. Right? Someone invested in the present to make your future possible. They dreamed dreams. They had a vision. And the poetic possibilities of their dreams got them through a lot of otherwise unpleasant realities. The Bible is full of visionaries, full of dreamers and interpreters of dreams. Who would have guessed that Joseph's ability to interpret dreams would have led him to lead all of Egypt? Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him, But Daniel stepped in to interpret them and turn them into a vision for the future. Abraham had a vision that through he and Sarai, all the nations would be blessed. Ha! That was impossible, right? Abram and Sarai were as good as dead. Then there are the sometimes questionable dreams. King David had a dream to build a great temple, but his motives were wrong, so was told no. He had to leave it to his son Solomon to build. In our day, MLK had a dream of racial inclusivity, a vision of a community free from prejudice. And it didn't pop up out of nowhere. It was born of the painful, hard experience of years of discrimination. And it's still not a fully realized dream. And that's work we still have to do as a nation. By virtue of being followers of Jesus, we've had a vision set before us of a world of compassion, equality, grace, and wholeness, aspired to even in the face of resistance, evil, and violence. So when we're confronted with our Proverbs passage today, what's our response? At the Fountains, we have a clear mission. As followers of Jesus, we put love first. But the question remains, what exactly does that look like? What's our vision? If it's not clear, perish the thought. So much has changed since the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis. People's expectations, their sensibilities, their habits. How will the Fountains best respond to the new realities that are shaping our connections and relationships, both within the congregation and out into the community? So, with that question in mind, at the end of last year, the Fountains entered into a visioning process with a professional facilitator, the Reverend Rob Reinders. About 20 stakeholders and leaders of the Fountains met together over several months to discern how we could best live out our mission of putting love first over the coming years. And let me take this opportunity to say thank you to all those folks who took the time to come together and do the step-by-step task of taking in a lot of information, processing it, dreaming about the possibilities, and organizing all the results. This church has amazing lay leaders. The process began with reviewing our current mission, vision, and programs, and then moved into brainstorming sessions where we were challenged to dream about what's next. Over the course of multiple Saturday meetings and the processing of everyone's input, Rob helped us focus on not only what we were already doing well and should continue doing, but what we felt called to do and what that would look like. We looked at demographics for Fountain Hills and the surrounding area. We went over the priorities and values of folks who would likely be interested in what we do. And considering the unique message of the Fountains, we took into consideration what members of our target audience would look like. We also talked about how much the world has changed, and not just since COVID, and how a lot of assumptions we make about the church just don't apply anymore. Add to that the continued uncertainty about what the next few years holds for the United Methodist denomination, and we had a lot of things to think through. One of the realities is how, since we've started offering our online studio celebration, some people are just never going to come back in person. They find the convenience of the online service to be exactly what they're looking for. So our challenge is, how do we engage with these new digital members so we can continue to foster connection and community? Our online studio celebration has also created a whole new sense of connection to the Fountains for our seasonal visitors that they've never had before. Instead of just attending church for 3 or 4 months of the year, many of our seasonal visitors are now connecting with us weekly the whole year round and feel more connected to the fountains than ever. You know, over the past 15 years, the Fountains has systematically embraced a number of theological and social positions that have shaped who we are today and what we're known for in the community. Early on, it was pioneering regular interfaith dialogue and events in Fountain Hills. A few years later, we voted to become a reconciling congregation, welcoming, affirming, and standing up for our LGBTQ neighbors. Then it was taking on the mantle of progressive Christianity and advocating for an approach to theology that took the Bible seriously and not literally. With each one of these stages, it became clearer and clearer who we were and what our values are. So, what we're looking at today is essentially moving into yet another new era of ministry, much of which may look and feel different to what we're used to, but which, like each stage before, will strengthen our identity and efforts. I'm excited by the clarity of our vision, not only for the way it will help us let people know who we are, but for how it will help us focus our efforts. So, this week, I'm going to simply give you the overview, and next week, we'll go into more detail and solicit any input you might have as well. The key to remember here is our mission is, as followers of Jesus, we put love first, and our vision basically says what that mission looks like in practice in the real world. So, I'm excited to share that as followers of Jesus, we put love first by providing a place of connection for the wider community, helping people connect to the divine and embrace their authentic faith, creating opportunities for fellowship and serving others, being a catalyst for inclusivity, dialogue, and engagement, and transforming the world. Listen to all those amazing verbs: providing connection, helping people, creating opportunities, being a catalyst, transforming the world. Check out all those core values: connecting to the divine, serving others, inclusivity, dialogue, engagement. These are big ideas. They're Jesus-y ideas. Our next step was to fill in all the ways we're already fulfilling many of these dreams and to prioritize what some of our big goals are going forward. More on that next week. You know, as a public speaker, I've always admired the skill of preachers like Martin Luther King Jr. One of the beauties of his I Have a Dream speech was his skill in using the tension of the now to motivate change for the future. He says, "This is reality, but this is where we're going." He said, "We may be in the valley now, but we're going to the mountaintop. We may be in darkness now, but the dawn is coming." It creates this tension between what is and what could be, and it gets a buzz of anticipation happening that sends people away going, "Let's get moving. We're almost there." So, let's remember, someone had their hands in your reality and yet dreamed what might be for you. And today, we have our hands in reality, here and now, and we dream of what might be. With the Spirit's help, we dare to dream of what we might become. And not for our own sakes, but for the vision that Jesus has placed in our hearts, that the world can be a better place, and we've been called to help make it so. The Spirit has lifted us up that we might lift others up, healed us that we might heal others, blessed us that we might bless others. And that's no small feat. You might look at the fountains and be like John Glenn. 60 years ago today, astronaut John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth in Friendship 7. Sometime later, someone asked him what he thought about sitting there in his capsule in the few quiet moments during the countdown. He said, I'm thinking that I'm sitting on top of millions of pounds of rocket fuel in a machine with 150,000 moving parts, all of which were made by the lowest bidder. So, how do we feel in those quiet moments here at the fountains? I, for one, think the possibilities are amazing. For whom are you dreaming dreams? For whom are you dancing dances? For whom are you seeing visions? Friends, I am excited about the possibilities for the fountains. And even though we are up to our elbows in reality right now, I am not shying away from dreaming of what we might become. May we see the vision of what the Spirit has called us to be together. Our future is counting on us. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.